An offensive Facebook page stereotyping Indigenous Australians as alcoholics and welfare cheats has reignited the debate over free speech, the regulation of social media, and also Australia's racial vilification laws. Earlier, Facebook refused to move the page. It's since agreed to take the page down and that it would go offline. But then, that didn't happen for long. It's now the subject of an investigation by the Australian Communications and Media Authority, which has received a complaint. Joining me now is Australia's Race Discrimination Commissioner, Helen Zoki, who's been carefully monitoring the situation, also talking to Facebook. Helen, thanks very much for speaking to us. What have Facebook said to you?
Basically, I've had just one or two conversations with Facebook to really say, let's set up a time to talk about this, because clearly the level of public concern and outrage about the depiction of Aboriginal people would suggest that the actual code by which you decide what to take down and what not on Facebook may well be out of step with either the law or with public sentiment. So I haven't gone into any detail at this stage. Clearly they're subject to an investigation by ACMA. They may well be subject to complaints that are brought against them under the RDA, so under the Racial Discrimination Act. So
tricky for them, though, given they're an American company, isn't it?
We've had quite a large increase in the number of cyber racism complaints at the Commission, and one of the benefits, I guess, of bringing them here is that you can conciliate an outcome that is satisfactory to the parties, and which also allows the Australian arm of these American companies to, you know, have the basis to talk about what's appropriate in this country and what's acceptable in this country. So I'm optimistic that our jurisdiction can help, even though it is an American company.
Would this page be, in your view, a breach of current Australian laws, particularly racial discrimination laws?
It potentially could be a breach of the Racial Discrimination Act, because it is material that's offensive, it's certainly material that's insulting, and it's clearly targeting a group of people of a particular race or ethnicity. So obviously the proviso is always it depends what happens when a complaint is brought and who brings it and how it's constructed, but it appears on the face of it to be something that could be a breach of the Racial Discrimination Act.
Does that all go away if the opposition's stated policy, which was reiterated this week, to repeal that particular section of the Racial Discrimination Act, if that happens, does that give a free pass to this sort of page?
Well, if those provisions of the Act were repealed, it's hard to see how there'd be a basis to bring a complaint to us. People may be able to bring a complaint under state jurisdictions or to use, you know, the other avenues like ACMA to see whether they can get some redress. I think I've made some public statements in this regard, Waleed, and my view is that I think it's always important to have a very robust debate about the balancing between competing human rights, if you like, when they are in conflict, and, you know, the issue of free speech and so on is incredibly important. I mean, that's the basis of a modern democracy. But so too is the right to equality. These are laws that have been in place for decades. And so, you know, if we're going to look at how we balance those provisions, my only concern would be that we don't take away the capacity for people to bring complaints, irrespective of what the threshold of that complaint might be, because we do know that that people do feel that they've been subjected to racism through public comments and public media that go beyond fair comment.
What do you make of the argument that the only reason we know about this, the only reason this has got so much publicity, is because there's been a lot of complaining about it, and if we just ignored it, it actually wouldn't be doing much harm to many people?
The reality is that the rapid development of social media means that messages are transmitted very quickly for both good and for evil, as we well know. And I have no problem with new forms of communication and media being subject to regulation and appropriate codes and standards as old forms of public comments are as well. So it's a kind of circular argument. I mean, what has been interesting is that this has generated such a wildfire of concern and anger that really suggests that, you know, the general kind of populace aren't very comfortable about having this this sort of material in the public space.
Helen Soakie, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Waleed.
She's the Australian Race Discrimination Commissioner. Twenty-one past seven. If you're in Western Australia, it's 21 past five. Anonymous text, why the big deal with free speech? Anything left unfettered can get out of control. I'm all for Soviet-style repression of abject racism. Wow. Share your thoughts. That's just one side of the debate, of course, that we've dealt with there. Whether this page violates hate speech laws in this country and what steps can be taken under current laws and regulations to contain it. I should point out we tried to get the opposition to speak to us about this because they wanted to repeal certain aspects of the Racial Discrimination Act, said before, earlier in the week. But then when confronted with this today, said, well, we're looking at a social media policy that might have takedown provisions. So I don't understand how that relates to one another and seems a bit contradictory. Wanted to talk to them about that, but alas, they did not accept our invitation to appear on the program. But the other side of this, perhaps an equally tricky aspect of this question, is really a question about social media and internet culture. At last check this afternoon, the page had reappeared on Facebook with a slightly altered name and had been reported again by many users. So there's kind of this weird, uncomfortable dance that goes on here. What's the end game of it? Stilgherrian is a writer who ponders all things internet and digital, and he joins us now. Stilgherrian, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us.
Good evening, Waleed.
We're going to accept that this is offensive stuff and that it's unpleasant,
sure.
And that
sure.
But even if we accept all that, it doesn't seem that you can take it down. It just pops up somewhere else. So how does this end?
Well, I think it ends, I don't know, I'm tempted to say it ends with us growing up and realising we don't have a right to be not offended or not insulted by something we stumble across on the internet.
Well, except we do.
Well, we do. So, you know, harden up, is that the answer? I mean, if we take this to its logical conclusion and say that nowhere on the internet, nowhere in the media can we have something which doesn't insult someone or doesn't offend someone, even if we restrict it to on the basis of race, then the Stephen Fry program QI needs to be taken off ABC television because it's full of jokes about the French being arrogant and pompous and the Irish being stupid and regional accents within the UK indicating some sort of, pariah status. That seems to be okay. It's almost as if people pile on to, in particular, insulting material about Indigenous Australians or Indigenous people anywhere else in the world. That's almost a kind of nice white middle class thing that we can all happily get offended about and feel good that we're fighting the good fight when we object to it and sign a petition.
Well, yeah, but we're not talking here about cracking a few jokes that are often friendly jibes at the French.
No,
we're talking
this,
about
this is really nasty
petrol
stuff,
sniffing memes with, and exploiting stereotypes to do with alcohol, and then you're talking about doing it with some of the most disadvantaged people in the country, and that's what at the heart of racism. It's the power
Absolutely.
Disparity, and we've seen where that can lead. So,
and I agree with all of that, Waleed, but I think I also agree with something you said when talking to the commissioner a moment ago that no one would have seen this stuff apart from, I don't know, the few hundred people who were playing around on this particular Facebook page, unless it did what it did. It crossed over into a kind of mainstream Twitter rage about how this must be not allowed to happen. And why this particular page? I'm sure that amongst the millions of pages that are published on Facebook and elsewhere on the internet every single day, there's probably stuff that's even worse.
I don't understand Facebook's position here.
Well, they're being inconsistent. I'll agree with that.
They're saying that, we can't take this down. There's a whole free speech thing. It doesn't breach our rules. But then they're forcing people to take down photos of women breastfeeding.
Yeah, and look, this is, I think, the thing that people get angry about Facebook in particular is that they are incredibly inconsistent about that. It's, as you say, photographs of women breastfeeding on breastfeeding promotion sites. There was a woman last year or the year before who posted a photograph of her mastectomy operation after having dealt with breast cancer as a public service to help other women understand what would be happening to them. And she talked about how she coped and therefore how other women might cope with this obviously quite confronting medical procedure. You would think that would be a perfectly reasonable thing, that you might want to put a warning about adult content or something on it, but taking it offline completely, and yet this, as you say, is allowed to stand. And I think that's more the reason why people have trouble with it. It's the sheer inconsistency from Facebook, particularly given that people see Facebook as rolling in hundreds of millions of dollars, and yet can't seem to employ sufficiently skilled people to get this right.
I should do the responsible thing and mention that Facebook have sent us a statement. We asked for an interview and we didn't get it, perhaps unsurprisingly, but they did ask us, they did send a statement, and amongst other things they say that we believe in that sharing information, the openness that results, invites conversation, debate and greater understanding. At the same time, we recognise that some content that is shared may be controversial, offensive or even illegal in some countries. While we do not remove this type of content from the site entirely unless it violates our statement of rights and responsibilities, out of respect for local laws, we may restrict access to that content that violates local laws. We note the Australian Communications and Media Authority are undertaking an investigation of these pages, and we're engaged in a constructive dialogue with the Australian Race Discrimination Commissioner. So make of that what you will. Now, let's step into the back room of Facebook for a second. What are the processes for reviewing content?
It's all a bit of a mystery, to be perfectly honest. I don't think Facebook have ever made a clear statement about this. What's common, though, in many of the larger social media and social networking sites is that it's farmed out as piecework through services such as Amazon's Mechanical Turk and Odesk and other places where people can actually pick up, as I say, piecework. They'll sign up and say, look, I will look at a bunch of pages that come up on the list and get paid 5 cents or 10 cents for each one I look at. So there is always a question mark over the level of quality control on this. And without knowing the specific details of how Facebook is handling these sorts of things today, and they're remarkably untransparent about it given their size, I think it's fair to say that they're not deploying a lot of their income stream towards this.
Yeah, I think that's probably
probably fair to say. Politely.
Are we living through a weird age at the moment where law simply cannot keep pace with technology? I mean, we can't come up with laws about public discourse like defamation and vilification and so on that we've had for a long time in an age like this where everything is published everywhere simultaneously.
Yeah, it's going to my personal view is it's going to take quite a while for the legal system to catch up with this, and even for the social rules to catch up with this. I mean, in days gone by and up until, I don't know, about 1995, it was pretty clear when someone was publishing something. It was on a piece of paper. It was on the television. It was on radio. And TV and radio were only a certain number of players. When something was on paper, it was very clear that this was now in permanent form. This particular Facebook page where people are handing around, you know, offensive jokes, and when you look at the balance of users, it was essentially kids, young people, handing this stuff around. This is the sort of thing which normally, until very recently, historically, would have happened privately. It would have just been passed around amongst people, hand to hand. So what we're seeing is a lot of the ephemeral conversation, a lot of the pub chat, a lot of the dinner table conversation, a lot of the gossip between friends that was formerly hidden is now something that we see exposed to the world. And the internet is this great global machine for exposing us to the entirety of human communication and humanity. And we're finding that some of it we don't like. Some of it is really, really ugly. And our reaction, and I can understand this from a human point of view, our reaction is to, you know, make it stop, you know, make this thing stop, hide it away. But that doesn't do anything to address the fact that here are people who are mostly Australians, presumably, who represent what I think all of the people objecting to this would agree with and say, look, this is a really toxic and nasty kind of bit of Australian society we're seeing exposed. And our reaction is not to kind of address that and change the viewpoint. It's to kind of hide it away and hope that it doesn't exist, but it does exist.
Anyone who wanted to have the power to read people's minds, I think, has the internet and now realises that power might be something more of a curse than a blessing. Still, Gary, and thanks very much for taking the time to come in. Good to have the chance to speak to you. We'll speak again sometime, I'm sure.
My pleasure, Waleed, anytime.
Still, Gary, and writer who ponders all things internet and digital, speaking to us there. I should point out that page that we're talking about has been up since June.